I know that Andy Hobbs at the Sheriff's Office is working diligently to hunt down the owners of these homes. Like you mentioned, there's a house in North Point, and they're having the same problem. The mom's in a retirement community somewhere in South Florida. The son's here, and it's pretty much a crack house. So they are working to find her, locate her, and get her buy-in so that they can do what they need to clean up that house. So Andy has a great group of people that work with him in neighborhood services. It does take time to hunt those people down and show them why it's a problem for the community here, but he is working diligently to make that happen.
I had this clip from the debate between Ashley Hoffberger and Ron Helms, and I had wanted to play it for you, Sheriff, because I thought it was an interesting observation about you have a trouble home, okay, you have a difficult home that you're dealing with, and then the additional difficulties of how do you take action when that's the case? Sheriff Simmons, by the way, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good
how
to
you
have
doing?
You. So Andy Hobbs, of course, we're big fans. Andy Hobbs hunting this down and the whole team. This seems like a very labor-intensive challenge when you're trying to figure out who's really the decision maker for a home that is having whether code enforcement or law enforcement or drug house kind of problems, right?
That's correct. Yeah. As many people know, Chief Hobbs is over. I placed him over our community services division. He and the group, including Ron Rivera, they do a lot of follow up on these houses, these locations, really, when we get a complaint about it. A lot of times it is rooted in a code enforcement type of a violation. Sometimes they claim that there are, drugs going on, drug deals going on. So we decide. Or we determine, really, whenever we get the information, who needs to look into it. We have Ronnie and them do a lot of background on it, who owns the property, so we can make contact with them typically. And then we also have, and sometimes we give them a letter saying, hey, you're becoming a nuisance homeowner. You need to stop this. And then there's a long, long list of things we have to go from there. But at least we're letting the homeowner know that we're hip to what's going on at their location. So the second thing is we let them know that we're going to be investigating it more, and if we need to get our narcotics people involved to potentially do a search warrant and that sort of thing, we'll do that. That's what Ashley was talking about. Is it's a big ordeal for us. And there's really limited things that we can do unless we see something or we can get a search warrant for the property.
Yeah, and just because of the legalities of ownership and authority and where people live and. Whether it's renters or family or any of the other kind, how do you actually deal with that? And it's not quite as simple as somebody's doing bad stuff. Let's kick them out.
Yeah. And this is someone's private property.
Right.
And I'm a firm believer in someone's yeah. private property. You can pretty much do what you want to in your home as long as you don't, abusing someone else. So, I also believe that neighborhoods can be, can suffer from the actions of one particular neighbor.
Absolutely.
And that's why we put this drug house is torn down, is closed and that sort of thing, because we do understand that there are homes that people kind of, to me, forfeit their right to just do what they want to because right. they tear up the neighborhood and they commit crimes.
Or they earn a parking party from the sheriff's van.
Or the sheriff's van, yeah.
It says we're watching you all the time.
I was talking about the sheriff's van a couple days ago. People love those things.
Kind of a couple of things that have happened, including one just overnight, I think. You had what is a disturbance involving some homeless folks. Is that right? What happened here?
Yeah, we got a call just a couple hours ago, really. L Street and Herman Street. The call was about a shots fired disturbance. We get there and we're flagged down by what is termed as multiple homeless individuals who were pointing at a guy that they said he had fired a gun at them. We had at least two victims. We were able to find the suspect. Ended up arresting him after we determined that he did indeed fire a shot. He apparently was extremely intoxicated and had to be taken to the hospital for evaluation before he was taken to the jail. So I guess if you fire a gun and you're intoxicated, hopefully you don't miss it. You don't hit anybody.
You don't want anybody firing a gun. You don't
at
want
all.
Anybody
somebody,
drunk
yeah.
and firing a gun. In fact, I think possession while you're drunk is actually prohibited. The concealed carry statute, you can't be in possession while drunk. You can't go to a bar with a concealed, but you can't be drunk and have a gun either, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, people don't know that. They don't think about it, but that is actually in the law.
Well, you shouldn't have to think about it, right?
If you got a gun, you should think. Don't get behind the wheel and don't get behind the trigger. I mean, these are fairly simple things. You also had a kind of an odd case of somebody shooting into a house over by River Annex Road. Is that right?
Yeah, River Annex Road a day or so ago. We had, a shots fired disturbance. When we get there, So the story goes this way. There's a lady that's in a disturbance with a man that's in his own home. She's trying to get in because they've had a previous relationship. She's trying to get back into the home.
Got it.
He doesn't want her back in the home. She calls another friend, this guy named Grant Bieber. He gets up there and he becomes involved in this disturbance now. And at one point he's at the side door and he's kicking the side door and ultimately shoots a rifle into the
rifle.
I think a .22 caliber rifle.
Okay.
Into the door, and the round goes through the door and into the cabinet in the kitchen.
As they do.
And as the victim's sitting in that same area because they're arguing, you're not coming in. Yes, I am. You're not coming in. And then he goes to the front of the house and shoots two more rounds into the house. We end up charging him with attempted murder because if I'm in a house and you're shooting at me and through my house, you're trying to kill me and you're going to get shot back.
I mean, randomly shooting at a house that you don't know who's inside, maybe that's what, an aggravated assault or a deadly missile or something.
Yeah, if you're inside a house.
But if you know there's a person and you're shooting in the house, I mean, you're clearly trying to kill them.
Yeah, the victim.
Or you, I mean, that's what you're doing.
That's correct. Yeah, there's no other way around it. And the victim, their claim is that whenever the round was fired into it, the pieces of the door frame, you know, was amongst them, and so was the debris and the dust and that sort of thing. I certainly believe that if that happens, you think someone's trying to kill you.
Yeah, most definitely. Wow, that's scary stuff. Hang on for just a second. We're talking to Scambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. I want to go one story back when we were talking about the guy who's sleeping on the sidewalk. Uh-huh. Under the state ban that went into effect October 1st, and I know we've talked a lot about this, but still, it's not yet a crime in Escambia County. They're going to pass it. They haven't passed it yet. The city has passed, but of course you're a county cop. The city has passed their public places one. How has this enforcement been going? Have you been getting calls? Are you having to move people? Just has it been anything? Because I know when we first talked, it seemed like really nothing, and we're almost a month in now.
Well, if you recall, there's a couple things here. There's the state statute that doesn't mention law enforcement, and there's all the words of the state statute. Law enforcement is not mentioned in there. So there's that, which means that the county has whatever obligations are in the state statute. I'll let them decide which ones they're going to abide by, or they're going to address. And then there's the city of Pensacola is dealing with, as I understand it, a public and a private statute. Or ordinance. And we at the county, I've been in contact with some of the commissioners, and there's some support that for consistency amongst these ordinances with the city and the county, which I think is a good idea. I think whatever, if you can, whatever we can do to, you know, to be consistent with our enforcement is a good
step. It's better
forward.
For the citizens for if the law doesn't change when you cross some invisible line. Yeah.
Yeah. So you go across the street and it's different over there. Yep. Because no one really knows exactly where the border is.
Yeah.
You know, so
what's the law?
What
color is a trash can? Okay,
yeah,
cool.
It just depends. You know, and yeah. Then even our dispatchers have to talk about different things because what side of the intersection was the crash on and all that
right.
nonsense. But right now, as I understand it, the county is looking at potentially similar, maybe not exactly, but similar ordinances to what the city is has looked at. And as I understand, they passed a public one, but not yet the private one.
The city actually dropped the public one or the private one. They dropped the private one. They did pass the public one.
Yeah, and I can see some value in both of those. Obviously, the public one is consistent with the state statute, which it makes it against the county ordinance to do what's already in the state statute, which allows also the law enforcement to say, "Hey, you can't be here." Mm-hmm. So we can work together. Is my point. And we're certainly willing and ready to do that with our county.
It sounds like you haven't had much cause for action on this. It hasn't been a lot of calls because that seemed like where we were maybe a week or two ago.
Yeah, I don't recall. I don't know that we've had any more calls about, now that the law has changed, let's go ahead and do this. Because I think people understand that it'll be until January
before when
things
they
are
have
really
the lawsuit,
kicking in.
Right.
And they also, I'm hoping that people will pay attention and understand that the county commission is looking into this. They're not... just looking the other way, they're doing something.
Right.
And again, that's not for me to determine. That's up to the Board of County Commissioners to determine what avenue they want to go. I have had some conversations and some communications with our Board of County Commissioners, and I have asked them to be consistent, if they can be, with the city. I haven't really discussed whether we should do a private one, but we are discussing potentials to having a private property ordinance as well. Because as we talked about earlier, if they say there's an abandoned Hardee's right across the street from the sheriff's office,
right,
and that means that people can just stay there and. You know, we have a hard time finding out who owns the place, getting someone to come and say you have to go and the trespassing. I do think that there's some room for a private ordinance as well.
No, I just didn't like the shape of the Pensacola City one, but certainly there's a concern there. There's balancing interest there, obviously.
Yeah.
You got a visit from the governor. He just showed up at your door on a Friday morning. Want to talk about Amendment 3?
Almost. I was sitting at home on a Thursday night and got a call from the governor's people. Said, "Hey, so what are you doing tomorrow morning? What do you need?"
Sounds like they asked you on a date.
Yeah, well,
they did at your house, right?
And can we come to your house? Okay. Hey, let's have a party.
Can you host us at your house for a thing? Yeah, tomorrow morning.
No, the governor's team called up, and this is not the first time. This is like the third time they've come specifically to the sheriff's office. He's obviously come to several other places in town. But on Thursday night, people asked me, "Hey, how'd that happen? You kind of kept it a secret." We weren't keeping secrets. So I got a call on Thursday night and say, "Can we be there till next morning?" And so I made some phone calls and made sure that our room was available. And we made our room available, quite frankly. And then the governor's staff came up there and they were very nice about it because they asked if I was supporting or against
amendment,
right?
It'd be awkward to show up for a press conference against Amendment 3 and you're I'm kind of for it,
No, but we're obviously in line. The Florida Sheriff's Association has, they have made their position known that they're against Amendment 3, and I'm against Amendment 3. I made some examples of some middle school. I think at one point we had 14 middle school
students. Yeah, shared that audio yesterday,
They had an adverse reaction, and that's with it illegal. That's with gummies when it's not legal here. And I can only imagine what would happen if it's legal here, that's one of the main reasons that I'm against, and then the potency of the marijuana is different than what it used to be.
And that's been kind of my take, is aside from everything else, I just don't want my kids growing up in a more marijuana, marijuana-opoly or whatever we'd have. So anyway, I did want to ask you, though, first of all, you have Movie Night Friday, right?
I have Movie Night Friday at the
November
Question
1st.
Center,
okay,
right there
Center.
Up in Beulah. I'll be honest, I think we're watching Mario Brothers or one of those movies.
Not a Halloween movie?
Well, it's after Halloween, so we're free to show whatever you want.
Could be a Christmas movie.
Yeah, well, it could be a Thanksgiving movie.
Yeah, could be. Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, great. All right.
I'll see you there.
But on that note, every year for Halloween, we just want to make sure people are thinking safety.
Right.
From the sheriff's office point of view, from the sheriff's point of view, things you want to tell parents, things you want to remind people about, drivers, please slow down. Be aware. You got lots of little critters running around and that's the last thing anybody wants to have happen, right?
Right. There's a couple things we tell them. Again, obviously, if you're driving, and sometimes people drive the cars and they drive into neighborhoods, or they watch your kids from their car, please be careful. There's kids running around. They're excited. Normally, we talk to people about the costumes, having some sort of reflection on it, carry flashlights, especially if it's cold. And I'm not sure of the weather, but I don't think it's going to be too cold. Sometimes people will get a nice reflective costume, but they'll put a jacket over it, a dark jacket, and it's difficult to see them. I also remind them when they're backing out, like if they're backing from a driveway, because I seem to recall about a month ago there was some horrific story about a parent that backed over their own child, and that happens a couple times a year, unfortunately. I told them, some people I was talking to earlier, that if you can, have a spotter out there, have someone out there. If you're going to do it any day of the year, do it on Halloween. To make sure that these children are safe, because again, that is certainly a tragedy that no one wants.
Absolutely. Sheriff Simmons dressing up for Halloween?
Yeah, I'm probably going as a cop this year.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Good one. Yeah. Current uniform?
Huh?
Current uniform?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I might
cowboy
wear long
hat,
sleeves, long sleeves,
long
and a cowboy hat. Why are you asking so many questions, man?
I don't know. It's just on my mind. It's Halloween, Yeah, weird questions. Sheriff Chip Simmons, well, thank you for the time, as always. Thanks for keeping us safe, keeping our kids safe, and I appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.